We're doing the Chafetz Chaim. We're on page Mem Hei. It's a new semester, so I want us to reintroduce what we're discussing here. Many of you are familiar already with the Chafetz Chaim, the laws of guarding one's tongue. For many people, when they approach the Chafetz Chaim for the first time, when they learn the laws of guarding one's tongue, so there's an awe. There's actually a tremendous appreciation. When people learn the details of the laws of guarding one's tongue, people say, wow, look at how the Torah wants us to be sensitive, to be careful not to say something that will hurt our fellow man, that can potentially, in the long run, hurt our fellow man. One of the greatest places, one of the greatest examples of the sensitivities that the Torah develops within our personality are these laws, where you suddenly realize, hey, wait a second, it's not just about being careful not to insult someone or being careful not to say a lie. It's also about being careful not to cause causality, not to be the source of a trigger effect of harm to someone else. So these halachot really, at first glance, seem very detailed, and they seem even, I would say, a little bit stringent. But if you look at it from a moral, ethical perspective, you will gain an appreciation for the sensitivities that the halacha develops within us. A person can take it easy. It takes time. It takes a lifetime to master these halachot. A person doesn't have to get all uptight. Oy vey, look at what I'm doing wrong. On the contrary, a person should learn what we're aspiring to. And even if a person isn't the greatest sage and the most learned in Torah, and he has other areas of his life where he has a lot of work to do, this is an area where every person can grow and develop. And as a person develops, a person's developing his personality. This sensitivity that a person has, what to say and what not to say and how to say. Well, one of the greatest factors of being human is the capacity to speak. We can really change people's lives when we speak. What we say. I'll share with you a story that blew me away. If I remember, I'll share with you two. I remember one now. I'll tell you the second one. I just remembered the second one. There's someone I know in our community who runs a gemach. He sells food below cost price. I don't know where he gets the funding from. I think he must have a history as a successful businessman, but I'm not sure. He lost a brother in Sahal 2 or 3 years ago, so he set up this gemach where he sells food items. Up until this year, he would sell them outside his house, and he would sell a few tens of thousands of shekels each week worth of food, and he would sell it at a very, very cheap price, and this helped a lot of people in the community. I met him about 4 or 5 months ago, and he said to me that he's closing down. So I asked him why. So he said that it's so hard on his family. They're doing it outside on their lawn, and it's a lot of work, and then it's a lot of cleanup, and it's taking a tremendous toll on his family, so he's shutting down. He can't do it anymore. So I said, you know, there are public buildings in the yeshuv. Why don't you try to get a public building? It doesn't have to be in your front yard. So he said, I've tried, and I haven't succeeded. So I said, you know, there are rabbis in the community. Why don't you ask them to tap the politicians to get you a building? You know. So he said, it's a good idea. Do you really think I could succeed that way? Because he said, I've approached the politicians and I got nowhere. So I said, why not? Before you give up, try. And with that, the conversation ended. A month later, he calls me up and he says, thanks to you, the gemach is running. He did it. He followed up. And he asked different rabbanim in the community to speak to different politicians, and he got a building. And I made a comment in passing. I see the guy's upset at something. I asked him what's going on. He told me what's going on. I threw out a thought, and a month later, he's telling me he followed up on that thought, and I didn't even realize what my words affected him. I didn't realize. Here we're just talking, shooting the breeze, and I didn't even remember the conversation. If you would have asked me, I didn't remember the conversation. If he wouldn't have called me and said, thanks to your telling me not to give up, I didn't give up. I wouldn't have remembered I told him. Till today, I don't remember the conversation, but he quoted the conversation to me. So, words. You say something, did I think those words would affect him? I didn't think so. We had over here, few years ago, a student, Asher Chaim, who passed away. You remember him? Your time? So we did a memorial service to commemorate him a month after his passing. And a lot of people who knew him from Ulpan, who I did not know, they never came to my classes, they came to the memorial service. I was asked to speak, so I gave a class in his memory. And then at the end of the class, I said, now we should each take one thing, one positive thing, that we're going to do in his memory. The poor guy passed away, didn't leave behind the family. We should each do something in his memory. And after that class, one of the fellows who knew him started coming to my Friday class. So I said to myself, you know, I thought to myself, gee, he must have really liked that talk I gave in his memory, because he started showing up to my classes for Fridays for a year or two afterwards. And one time I spoke to him and I said, you know, we only got to know one another at that commemoration speech in memory of Asher Chaim. And he said to me, yeah, that's why I come to your Friday class. So I didn't say anything. And he said, you said we should each do one thing in his memory. So that's what I'm doing in his memory. You know, it had nothing to do with me. I mean, I gave him the idea, do something in his memory, do one positive thing in his memory. So he decided, okay, I'll come to another class. Happened to be mine. But I didn't, you know, I didn't connect it. I said a thought. He took it. And 2 years worth of learning came out of that. So I'm giving examples of the positive. I think that we all know examples of the negative, where you just say a line, like you're standing there. Someone told me a story that a good friend of his was about to be hired for a job, and the guy who was about to hire him said to him, you know, I'm thinking of hiring him to teach this class. And he said, I wouldn't put him with kids. So he said, why not? And he said, because he never talks bottom line. He has all kinds of highfalutin ideas, and I don't think kids will connect him. And he just made a comment, but because of his comment, the guy didn't hire him. Until today, that guy is unemployed. Wow. So, I know both parties. The guy threw a line, and his friend is still unemployed. His friend doesn't even know what he said about him. He just said a comment. What did it take, 10 seconds, 15 seconds? Quick comment. The guy's still unemployed till today. So, our speech is tremendously powerful. We underestimate where our speech can go, and you don't have to be sitting here and talking online. We all make comments. You will have opportunities. You guys want a class on dating. Well, people will call you for recommendations about your friends. What do you say about him? Suddenly you're on the spot. And we don't even realize sometimes how our comments affect other people. So the laws of Lashon Hara give us a tremendous tool to develop that sensitivity. And he who masters his speech is ultimately appreciated by people. People gauge us based on our sensitivity and our speech. In colleges, they define the education that they're trying to give is an education that develops a yearning for knowledge, an openness to knowledge, and a sensitivity to the way one speaks. One of the definitions in the United States of an educated person is someone who will be careful how they express themselves. When you don't have an education, then it's easy to make comments that are infinite. That's ridiculous. That's for sure not true. It never happened. To make global generalizations, the more one knows, the more one is careful how one speaks. I'm not aware of that. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. I'm not aware of it. Okay, so with that, we're going to continue where we left off on page Memhei. The Chafetz Chaim has been speaking about idle chatter that goes on in shul. And he says what very often happens is people sit in shul and they start telling one another some form of Lashon Hara. And then they start reading in the Torah. So he's not going to stop his story midway. He's in the middle. So then he continues, even though they're reading in the Torah. And sometimes it could be the people sitting in the front of the shul. Everyone looks over to them. And when they speak, so other people start talking. V'chama parim mim eraze b'shabbat. We're on the third line on the footnote of page Memhei. And how often does this happen on Shabbos itself? And then it's even more severe than on a weekday. As it says in quite a few holy works. And when a person is used to talking in shul, so then if he's in the middle of telling a story, even if they start saying the Kaddish, he finishes what he has to say. And then a person can end up missing out on saying, Amen, Yehei Shmei Rabba, Asher Amiraton, Alem Odal Pi Agma. The Talmud says that answering Yehei Shmei Rabbah is very potent. Our sages say, even if a person has a place in his heart that he's an apostate, somewhere in his heart he's not exactly where he should be. He can be forgiven. Yehei Shmei Rabbah is when a person says, may Hashem's name be, great name be blessed forever. The Talmud says you have to be careful when you say Amen, to say that adjacent to the blessing, not out there. The guy makes a blessing and 5 seconds later you remember to say Amen. You can't say it anymore. You have about a second and a half. Shalom lecha Rebbe Umori. Yeah? Say when everyone else says Amen. Ki afilu mechamat asut bilvad nishta Amen shelo, yesh elav klala uchmo shemashma baposkim. Even if a person was just lazy, and he was telling a story, and then he didn't pick up on the Amen, so he missed it. Ve'kal v'chomer b'zeh shedacha Amen yesh merba, m'nei lashon hara v'achilut shelo. Now, that's when he was just lazy, but if he was busy saying lashon hara, so then it's considered more severe that he missed his Amen. Ve'al kulam over b'zeh hazman al isur revi'i, danu sicha b'tila v'et ha'knest u'v'et ha'midrash. And he says, remember the fourth prohibition he mentioned earlier. We're not allowed to talk idle chatter in shul. We're coming to a place to honor our Creator. Etc. We'll pick up here, Bezat Shem, next time.